Blog Talk Radio.
The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron. A podcast featuring Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, two out of the broom closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC radio network. During each episode, Elvira and Deb will help you create rituals, cast spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Deb, take it away.
Well, hello.
Hello.
So this is Deborah here with Elvira and Nagashiva, making up the Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron. And tonight, we're going to continue this month's theme of planting the seeds of renewal by talking about invoking fertility of body, mind, and spirit. But first, we're going to take a few minutes to catch up on what's been going on for us over the past week. I think my week was probably a lot calmer than yours because I spent most of it up in the woods.
True.
I spent a lot of time along like the Michigan border, that border between Wisconsin and Michigan, and I did it. That's my second home. I go up there quite a bit and spend lots of time hiking with my dog Loki and kind of buzzing around out on the AT trails, although I kind of tend to go on the days that aren't right on the Memorial Day weekend because then there's a whole bunch of people out on the trails. And I kind of like the feeling of just getting out there and having it mostly to myself.
Right.
And, you know, so it was kind of cool. Yeah, I got to see, you know, and I'm always taking pictures, you know, so I saw a huge snapping turtle, saw some swans, saw eagles flying around, heard a lot of loons, and all those things that are just, you know, are just so cool and just make me feel so good to be up there. I really feel I connect, like, with the spirits in the woods, the fae. And, you know, I was taking lots of photos of flowers and saw some jack-in-the-pulpits. Saw one flower that I wasn't really sure what it was. I actually posted it on Facebook to see if I could get people to identify it. And I think it might be called a peace lily. It's some kind of a water lily. Mm-hmm. And then I, you know, what I see a lot is I always see faces emerging from the, and I, you know, whenever I see that, I always kind of pause and take a picture of that to just, you know, I feel so connected to trees. And it's just like, I love walking around those winding dirt roads where you're not really sure what's around the next corner. So that's how I spent a lot of my week. How was your week, Elvira? I know you're kind of crazy in your neck of the woods.
Well, yeah. As it turned out, everything seemed to be going, you know, reasonably well. We had certain kind of weather patterns and, you know, thunder, lightning, high winds, you know. Mm-hmm. But we actually had, by Sunday morning, they started telling us that we were going to have, they went from what they call a tornado watch, which is possible, to a tornado warning, mean get the fuck ready to dive into your safe place. And so I basically wound up taking my dogs and me into this little 3x3 closet, which technically would be a coat closet in my hall, turned my television up high so I could hear the live radio or the live show that they were doing, new show. And then it started in to be the drama that unfolded was there was a tornado touchdown in Decatur, which is in, you know, Arkansas area. And what it did was it was a mile and a half wide. They have now gone through all their permeations. It's the largest tornado that has set down in Arkansas and proceeded to go straight from where it was going east and divided into four different tornadoes, and then there were a couple of others that set down farther down, you know, or farther north. But it turned out that what we got was this one that came straight through, and now I can say my cherry has been broken with regards to being around a tornado. It literally went straight through the town, main road of the town, and then came up. And now tornadoes aren't known to like water, going over water, or going over hills or mountains.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this one obviously decided it didn't give a holy hell. So it basically did. It went straight up and over these mountains that, you know, aren't real heavy mountains, but they're enough to, you know, trees and everything. That's where I live. And my daughter lives closer to the lake. And it's still in mountains, and it just went straight over. But it didn't touch down.
Yeah.
But, and along with this, of course, we had heavy hail. And that was the big one. And so the hail was coming down, and I was inside, and, you know, they were telling us, you know, all these things. And then suddenly, you know, light flickered, it went off, electricity gone. And I hear the hail coming down, and I didn't hear the tornado, the roar of the tornado. Neither did my neighbor below me. But the neighbor above me did, and then it went straight over to where my daughter was, and she said she did hear it. They have a split level, so they go against the hill in the rooms that I, you know, the bathroom and everything that are against the hill. And then it went away, went farther, and it went farther into forest that the area it was going to, which, again, makes it a very unusual tornado. And then, of course, we all got out and checked around, even with the rain, to see, and luckily... You know, there was very little damage to all of us, and, you know, a lot of down, you know, trees came down and poles and electricity. And so, you know, we were without power for about probably three days, and then it kind of flickered on again, you know, and came on yesterday for me and then my daughter later. But they're still working on it, no internet. Period. And it reminded me of looking at when we had the Tubbs fire, which is the heavy fire that started all the series of fires in Sonoma County. Looking at it, I started crying. I have only been here 2 years, and yet, you know, the places that I have gotten accustomed to, and, you know, the businesses, lots of them have been destroyed. And it was incredibly sad. So it's not even getting kind of get to normal thing. It's just beginning to pop your head back up out of the rubble. And since this is similar to the fires, I kind of know how to do this. But still, you know, in California, I had the support group of Lucky Mojo, and they had, you know, we all had that, and we had, you know, different groups of people that we've been with for a while that help keep you, you know, sane. Here it's pretty lonely, and, you know, there's certain people that I'm luckily connected with. But, that's where we're at. I was sitting here not sure if I was going to be able to have, you know, the radio show with us here because I didn't know with a lot of electricity and all the rest of it, but with it coming on, you know, I was feeling better about it. But it was definitely drama to its highest level. And so now I'm kind of like, and it's, you know, you look at the concept of what our theme is for tonight, and I'm just like going, you know, somewhere along the line, the invoking of, you know, fertility of mind, body, and spirit needs to really be put into effect now. in this area to regenerate, and, you know, in more than just, you know, the smaller ways. But we'll see. I mean, they actually decided to call in the National Guard, and they, you know, the governor came and took a look at everything, and, you know, there's, and the thing that is just like it, it was the outpouring of the community. It didn't matter what you were, who you were, and, you know, in this situation, whether you're conservative or liberal or pink, black, or green, everybody has come out and, you know, worked as a team and putting food together, and restaurants are, you know, feeding people, and it's just, it's amazing. And I know that when we had all the fires, that same kind of energy permeated the area, and I think that we need to be more, that needs to stay more common ground than, you know, your separation aspect. But, you know, it's just that. But anyway, on to sending it back to you to get started with our next topic.
This topic really fits right in, you know, following the whole cleansing and then planting and then, you know, invoking fertility. So I guess I'll just start out with how do I define invoking fertility, and then maybe kind of looking at the whole invoking fertility of body, mind, and spirit. I think usually when we think of fertility, lots of times we think about, you know, conception, pregnancy, and birth. And the term fertility is often defined as a person's ability to conceive children, or it can be also, you know, about the earth's ground being fertile and having the ability to grow and produce plant matter, like flowers, crops, you know, and other plants. But fertility can be about the ability to generate and create in a number of different ways. And it can be about, you know, it can be about giving birth, whether it's to a baby, maybe a new project or a garden, or giving birth to a new, even like a new aspect within ourselves. I think it's interesting, like as far as magic is fertility spells are some of the oldest forms of magic and ritual known. And also, you know, it's interesting to note that some of the earliest forms of spiritually venerated images are actually of the human genitalia. And, you know, many of the magical and spiritual practices were tied to the mysteries of birth and life and that whole generative power. And if we think about, like, the word venerate, that kind of stems from the same roots as, like, Venus and venerable. And so, as we were talking about, I know you and me touched on this a little bit, is, like, many of our magical tools of witchcraft symbolize fertility motifs or motifs. Did you say motifs or motifs? Not sure.
But, I don't know. Mochi, like, sounds good.
Mochi, yeah. That sounds great. Okay. Fertility motifs, like the mortar and pestle, or cauldrons and broomsticks, some of my favorites, or wands and chalices. And many, you know, believe that these tools derive their magical power, at least in part, from their associations with the power of human fertility. And so I think our fascination with fertility and generation, I think it's so profoundly integrated in a lot of magical practice. And so, you know, ultimately, much of the time, what most magic spells attempt to do really is to generate or to create something new, or to create something that did not exist before, or at least the potential, you know. And I know you're going to talk a little bit about this, but there's many of the spirits and deities that we work with in magic are often concerned with some form of fertility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know that there's probably so many more of them. I always think of like Aphrodite or Freya, but there's a ton more. And also there's some other spirits like saints and angels that are specifically sought out for help in matters of fertility.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know the Archangel Gabriel is one of them. And there's another angel, Armisiel, who I'm not familiar with, but I know that that is also an angel of fertility.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought it was kind of cool that Gabriel, that angel of also of communication, I always thought it was kind of a neat little bit of folklore or whatever, is that that babies remember all of their previous life before coming into this life. But that
mm-hmm.
what the Archangel Gabriel does is presses his finger against the baby's lips, and that's why we have that little dent above our lips.
Oh, how
I
cute.
Think about that. Right?
Oh,
I
yeah.
I think of that when I look at little babies.
mm-hmm.
And also, I'll just say there's a few nature spirits that are associated with fertility, probably many more than what I could name off, but rabbits are, you know, a big one, you know, for physical fertility. Bees
mm-hmm.
are associated with abundance and fertility magic. Spiders are associated with blessings and connections of motherhood. And it's kind of interesting that spider webs are sometimes carried like in a charm bag and are said to protect against mischief. So that has like an association too.
Mm-hmm.
One other thing that I heard from, I was talking to a lot of the people in the North Woods are hunters. I'm not a hunter so much. I'm more of a bird watcher, but seeing bear tracks is associated as an omen of inner strength, having to do with mother bears and fertility.
Mm-hmm.
And then seeing wolf tracks is associated with strong family ties. And so, so I thought that was kind of interesting. Elvira, what are some of your thoughts about starting us off on this topic of invoking fertility in body, mind, and spirit?
Oh, wow. That's, you know, it's interesting because I was looking and I was trying to, you know, get an idea. You know, we kind of mentioned, you know, the tools and, you know, obviously, you said broomsticks, and I'm sorry. I immediately thought of all of the pictures of a very scantily clad witch riding a broomstick, you know, and obviously
right.
we know what that symbolizes, which I find interesting. And that kind of
mm-hmm.
came through my brain. And, you know, the mortar and pestle, of course, is, you know, the pestle slamming into the mortar, you know,
mm-hmm.
that whole thing. So I think a lot of, you know, what we look at and see because of the way they physically look, we get it, you know, in terms of, oh, yeah, that's what it means or that's the thing. And it's interesting because, for instance, the chalice is used as the goddess's womb and, you know, you know, the symbol for water and all that. But you get to the cauldron. It's still the goddess's womb, but it's where you brew things or you put, you know, you burn incense or you have a large candle. So it kind of is a bigger version or a more inclusive version of what
mm-hmm.
we would talk about in terms of the actual symbology or representations. And when I was doing that research, I kind of went, wow, that's interesting. I'm sure there's more there if you want to dive deeper, but and, you know, just talking about the idea of fertility and, you know, being, you know, productive and capable of producing offspring, fruit, ideas, you know, the development and inventions of things, you know, the fertility or fertile, you know, ground that we see takes it beyond the, you know, what we're talking about of conception of a human, usually is what it's, you know, put to a human being, but, you know, conception of our animals. And, you know, I always love the different symbologies, like, you know, Ostare is, you know, another goddess of fertility. And, of course, we know her for Easter and rabbits and eggs. And I was laughing because I had all these notes and I had finished doing it. And I turn around, the dogs are completely quiet, and look out my window, and right on my lawn, lying there, just and it's not sunny, trust me, was a rabbit.
Mm.
And I looked at this, and I'm going, okay, so we're in the middle of having had this incredible devastation. There's this rabbit lying there. I go, well, the fertility is coming in. I get this is a good symbol. So when we see these things, it's also the energies of life conversing with you, as long as you, you know, are able to open yourself to what these are saying. So, you know, and like you said, wolves and wolf prints and, you know, those kinds of different animals that we tend to go, well, you know, the wolf family, very pack orientated, and, you know, the bear, mama bear, and you hear that all the time. Of course, we've recently, I hate to say this, recently gotten a huge thing on Facebook of the bear. Like, you know, I'd rather meet a bear in the woods than have a man meet me in the dark of the night, because the bear will either kill me or not, rather than, you know, and they go on this whole, there's a whole line of these. And I was looking at that, and you're talking about bear, and I'm thinking, you know, it has a certain concept of, you know, I want to say creativity and protectiveness that comes in, even when you're looking at wild bear concept. But it's interesting that a lot of these little things that we're touching on have already come up in, you know, conversation with regards to the actual general populace in different ways. So I have a feeling that has to do with, again, the fertility and growth of these new ideas and new ways to deal with what we have in our world instead of the old ways and, you know, new growth. So I really see that. And, of course, I've always been one on, you know, how do you, you know, invoke and how do you, you know, use intentions. And I would probably say for me, the concept of intention is the biggest thing with regards to being able to do something. I mean, we have an intention to, you know, write a letter, or we have an intention to start a business. We have a lot of clients that come to us with, you know, things they want to do, and we take that intention and help them channel and form a way to start moving it into manifestation. And I've always said intention is the, if you're going to say, the pregnant seed of anything that you start on. You have to have an intention. So, you know, putting that as
it really
primary.
Is.
Yeah.
And I think it's so fitting that, you know, the earlier shows this month we talked about, you know, spring cleaning. You know, spring cleaning our inner self, just kind of clearing away the wreckage of whatever. Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be wreckage, but just clearing away what we don't need anymore, you know, to open up that ground, and then starting to plant, plant the seeds that we want to grow, the things that we want to manifest, and then, you know, flowing right into now tonight's topic, you know, invoking the fertility of body, mind, and spirit. And so I like that, because I, you know, I think of, oh, you know, yeah, fertility. Most spell books or witchcraft books might have a little chapter on, you know, fertility, but it really is, I mean, it is so much more than just conception and, you know, like physical conception or wanting to get pregnant and things like that. Although, yeah, I think that fertility of body, mind, and spirit are they're all so important. And
right.
And it's all we really desire, you know, as we manifest and, you know, set our intentions. But we are
right.
getting kind of close. I think we got another minute or so. Do you have anything to add to that, Elvira?
No, you know, there are a lot of things here that, you know, I think when we get into the second half, we'll have a lot of, you know, exciting things to talk about. But quite frankly,
yeah.
I realized that when clearing away, we think of it as we go to A to B to Z to D, and clearing away
mm-hmm.
comes at different times. And
mm-hmm.
even though we've put it in a linear construct by our shows, it actually
mm-hmm.
happens at all times because you get to a certain place and then you have to clear some more stuff out. Or you're not getting it right yet and you have to clear more stuff out. And maybe because
mm-hmm.
I've just lived through a tornado that cleared a lot of stuff out, that,
right,
you know,
right.
we have to realize it's a holistic experience as opposed to, you know, what we want to see as a linear experience. So I'm going to leave it at that so I can turn it over to you to do your break.
Yes, lots of symbolism in that tornado. Okay, so it's
yeah.
time for us to take a little break. But we will be right back to take a deeper look into the process of invoking fertility of body, mind, spirit. So break us away, Nagashiva.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned as more magic is coming your way. Right after these messages. LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman, Sundays, 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LaFay, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays. And The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, Thursdays, 4 to 5. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
And we're back and ready
My
to talk
gosh,
further about, yeah, and ready to talk further about invoking fertility of body, mind, and spirit. And why don't you lead us off, Elvira?
Okay, well, obviously there are a couple of things here I kind of wanted to bring out.
I bet you've got lots of goodies.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, I kind of went a little overboard on some stuff here, so I have to rein myself in. As far as, you know, what we're looking at, you know, there, you know, like, I guess when you see what you're putting together for your intentions is like you need to realize that the first thing is you got to focus, and that, you know, kind of is the purpose. What is your purpose? What is your idea? What is it that you want? And then putting it into writing is like creating a beginning of a path of energy, and then you verbalize it. So, you know, the desire and see it as when you do it, and this is one of those where we all know, we say it over and over again, is that, you know, when you put an intention or you do a prayer, you need to always remember you're going to make it in such a way that it is an accomplished fact, and you use words that are affirmations without using things like I am not poverty stricken or, you know, whatever, because of different reasons. I don't want to kind of sidetrack, but mm-hmm. it becomes real important that your intention is put into these formats, mostly so that it's a way of, just like you get a candle and you decide what that candle represents, and you know you might write on the wax or write a piece of paper or something, you name it, and then you go forward with the next step. And I think with regards to invoking these aspects of mind, body, and spirit, the intention is, what is your intention? Is it for pregnancy of a child? Is it to give a conception of a book or a musical piece, or, you know, as simple as crocheting a scarf or a jacket? And when you do that, you start putting that energy together and making it a form that will then start to grow. Because, you know, the other part of it is that when a plant grows, a child grows in your belly, or your womb, mm-hmm. actually, it's taking on its own form. There will come a time where, you know, once it breaks ground, once it's birthed and, you know, it starts to grow in that form, you do the pruning, or you do the different things that are part of not only maintenance, but helping it to get the best growth out of, you know, its beginning life. Mm-hmm. And I think that symbology, though a way of describing it, is important, because, you know, we can see the beauty of a forest. But a forest will grow according to what other plants are around, whether the animals mm-hmm. will eat part of the plants. And so it has its own natural way of pruning, moving it into a different way. So I think the idea of invoking and then allowing that energy to start moving forward. And I know some of it is, you know, when we want to do a spell. And I know you have a couple that you're going to talk about, but mm-hmm. some of the things, and I did get a little excited about this, in terms of like mm-hmm. stones that you can use. And of course, you know, fertility in terms of what they talk about is mm-hmm. a lot of times that aspect of creativity, that aspect of bringing it into a form. And then you have the second half is, what kind of thing are you going to do it for? Are you going to do it for money? Are you going to do it for health? Are you going to do it for love? And that's like the second half. But the stones that I found, which were interesting, was moonstone, because of the cyclic aspects compared to with the moon, which again sure. is another part of the symbology or aspect of growth. Carnelian, mm-hmm. selenite, rose quartz, green aventurine, and aquamarine. And I thought those were interesting because ooh. I know that each one of these has different subtexts, but I thought, well, you know, mm-hmm. we have the earth, you know, with the stones, and then you talk about herbs, and that one you can really go all over the place, and I know you'll probably have a lot to say about it. But one of the things I found in a bulk of my books that, you know, mm-hmm. I went and looked at, pomegranate is probably the most common one for
oh, yeah.
fertility, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, bar none.
Yes.
It's like everything. So I was like, okay, yeah. that one is a definite. And then, you know, such things as parsley, queen's root, mm-hmm. you know, some
oh,
of
yeah.
the other
yeah.
things of nuts, like, you know, and I'm sorry, this is going to sound kind of crude, but, you know, when you talk about nuts, that does have a more phallic point of reference, but it is part of the process. And I like the idea of fig, because, of course, I like figs, so, you know, with all the little seeds and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot more. And then, again, you add all the different variations of, you know, four different kinds of things. in terms of what you're going to want to add for the type of, you know, fertility you have. And then I even kind of got excited about oils because they started talking about oils. And the two that came up the most was musk and vervain.
Oh, yeah.
So that was kind of an interesting aspect. And for me, I was like, well, I didn't know about those really particularly. But, you know, and then you got, you know, the different, the definite chakra. And that's the second chakra, you know, the body energy. And in that, you've got, you know, the concept of what the colors are. And it's interesting because they talk about orange, which, you know, technically is the second chakra. It's red, which is love, plus yellow.
And would carnelian be associated with that second chakra?
Yes. See, and that's why they talk about fertility with the carnelian being part of that energy. So I was kind of intrigued about, you know, the things that come together. And, you know, they've got gods and they've got goddesses, and you've talked a little bit about that. But Coco Pele in the Native American is the deity of fertility with his, you know, flute and his sack. And, you know, he comes around. It kind of reminds me almost kind of like the Fool in the Tarot deck. But definitely, you know, very much about fertility and the concept of that. So you know,
I love the imagery of the Coco Pele. Yes.
You know, you kind of. And it's interesting because there are so many of, you know, the things that we look at as what we would consider, you know, the aspects of what we would put together in fertility. So, you know, I mean, like three, you know, because that's like maiden, mother, crone, mother, father, child, you know, the Trinity. And, of course, eight is another because it's that infinity, that movement back and forth. So, you know, if we're doing magic, we might do things in, you know, a numerological way with that without being totally struck with the what is standard numerology. It's just the idea of using these aspects. So that was kind of where I kind of flowed with a lot of the process here, and, you know, just realizing that, you know, we need to have creativity, nourishment, flexibility, you know, trust, and, you know, the aspect of finding tranquility, you know, finding ourselves in a place where this makes, you know, the aspect, because when you're pregnant, you know, there's a point where you don't go very far because your body is pretty intensely pregnant and you have to be
very
quiet.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So that's kind of my thoughts on it. What do you think?
Well, I like all the things that you covered, and I have some of the same thoughts, but some different or probably just associated thoughts. Like, the fertility is also connected to having control over our reproductive cycles and to our health and well-being. And I believe, well, in women's magic, it might be more about the lunar energy and tapping into the energy of the feminine cycles as well as the moon phases. And I think can't talk about fertility without mentioning sex is a very magical power all by itself. But sex magic is a very focused power and one that's highly effective, form of magic, and is also, you know, deeply rooted in the whole domain of fertility magic. I know you mentioned some botanicals, but I have a couple other ones that associated with the doctrine of signatures that have a long history of being associated with fertility magic. And I mean, there's also those that prevent fertility, which might be another form, but I kind of more looked at the ones having to do with fertility because Well, we know the earliest magical practices were always kind of intertwined with the earliest medical practices, and herbal knowledge has always been a part of both of those practices. And so some of the botanicals that I kind of thought of ones that I could put like in a charm bag or mojo. And so grape, well, I wouldn't put grapes in there, but grape seeds or grape beads or grape vines are associated with fertility. Pine needle or little baby pine cones because they're evergreen. You mentioned parsley. One that I really like a lot because it's associated with Aphrodite is myrtle. I like using myrtle. And any kind of or pits, I know a lot of people will use. And it's kind of funny, like I like to use those little baby charms that are placed in the cheese cakes. I'll place like one of them in a charm or a mojo bag, and I actually have one of those little babies in my my bone casting lot. I have other little charms and stuff in there. So I've got like a little miniature baby in there. And, you know, I think part of that are many of our biological ancestors or the ancestors of witchcraft traditions like the Mighty Dead, you know, and many deities possessed intricate knowledge of the herbs in fertility practice. So it's kind of like something that's been handed down over centuries. And one thing I wanted to mention is that we can celebrate fertility of life and our rites of passage. And one thing that made me think of that is when I was up in the Northwoods, I have like the neighbors are kind of far away, but I have this one neighbor, Dawn, who would go walking with me every morning. We'd go hiking and talking, and it was kind of funny. She told me she celebrated her retirement by posting a photo of a positive pregnancy test and did this like 9 months before the day of her retirement, kind of like a countdown. And also, she said it was also a way to symbolize her going into starting a new life. And so I thought, oh, that's really cool, you know, to celebrate the passages that we go through, you know, and to make those fertile and make those, you know, come alive and be the next adventure.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that anywhere that we seek to become more fertile, that's what we can do with our intention. And this might be with creativity or prosperity or any other venture where we're desiring to become more fertile. And so in the realm of the physical body, I think that could have to do with healing and physical health. It could be in regard to sex, being, you know, healthy in that. It could be working magic towards actual conception, or it could be just about balancing our natural cycles and balancing, you know, our body, mind, and spirit. Or in the physical realm, it could also be about prosperity and business. And so, you know, I started thinking about, you know, the mind and our mental and emotional energy, you know, and there are, you know, different rituals and practices that we can use for inspiration or creativity. It could be, you know, like I like the use of affirmations too, so it could be about unlocking our potential by, you know, feeding ourselves solid, positive affirmations and produce new ideas and letting go of the things we don't need anymore. And then we could shift our focus, you know, into more fertile and positive ground. But then I was also thinking about, you know, the realm of spirit. And to me, magic is a kind of an extension of the realm of spirit. And so, you know, it could be about raising a spiritual vibration, you know, raising our spirits. And it could be about increasing our manifesting our holistic wellness, but it could also be about, you know, just enhancing our contact with our higher self and our own spirit. But one thing I thought, I really just liked the thought of making, in fact, I think I'm going to make some witch's flying ointment. So, I mean, we could explore the fertility of magic and spirit through meditation and soul journey. And we went, mm-hmm. want to make our own witch's flying ointment. And I've made some in the past, but I haven't made any for a long time. And so one nice recipe for a non-toxic ointment, not like the, you know, ancient ointments that had a bunch of toxic things in them, we could mix a bit of wormwood, mugwort, vervain, jasmine flower, or maybe jitney of Crete. You know, those are all good for astral travel and meditation and psychic. And mm-hmm. could mix those into a base of beeswax and coconut oil. And then maybe blend a few drops of sandalwood oil. Maybe, a drop of anise in there. And mm-hmm. then as you're doing that, fill this ointment with your magical intention and set it out to be charged beneath the full moon. And then, mm-hmm. The next time you're doing a bit of astral traveling, slather a bit on and, intensify that experience. Mm-hmm. Something else I wanted to mention. I actually have a couple other little spells, and I don't know if we'll even get to those because I am kind of like you. I just kind of got excited and went into a bunch of different things. But, a ritual that would be wonderful for invoking fertility of body, mind, and spirit is drawing down the moon ritual.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's a great way to invoke and fill yourself with lunar energy, which is all about, fertility and enhancement mm-hmm. of our personal power. And so the next full moon is on Friday, June 21st. And interestingly, the summer solstice is on Thursday, June 20th. And so that's going to be a really powerful week.
Yes, really.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds awesome. I mean, if you think about it, it's, and it's interesting you were mentioning that. I was sitting and I was looking, because, we look at different things and we talked about, mm-hmm. when we were dealing with Beltane, which was the beginning of this month, and, what it's about is fertility and, that energy. But, you have mm-hmm. to go back to, like, the spring equinox. And you mm-hmm. think of that as, the conception. And then, you start in with Beltane. And then you get, summer solstice is actually the birth. And mm-hmm. then you start in with what would become the harvest. And it's not necessarily the actual 9 months of a human gestation period. It's what they do in terms of the, you watch the Sabbath and the cross quarters, because the cross mm-hmm. quarters are the actual times of movement just as much as the solstices and the equinoxes have certain shifts. So I was just kind of, there's a certain rhythm, and we know it because you and I have practiced and we've, educated ourselves and we've gone ahead and taught, and it was just so incredibly interesting about the way that we're now looking at these different time periods and how in those time periods there's subsets of experiences. So it kind of led to a lot more introspection of what these mean as opposed to just what we educate ourselves on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
And I would like to share one thing which is really weird and yet mm-hmm. it kind of fits in with all this, is when the tornado hit, it downed a huge tree across the road that comes into our particular group of homes, and it's only, this road, and they had to literally, because it was literally the amount of root ball kept it literally high above the ground, but of course it had all the branches. So for the first couple of days, they just basically took all the branches out, and it was leaning against a set of trees that weren't going to fall over. It was almost, and if you think of how you have a portal or a doorway with the lintel and the other aspects are the posts, I was driving out when I first was able to, after they made the hole so we could go through. And I looked at this and I'm going, oh my gosh, it's this portal of like going out and coming in and the birthing and the transition. And every time I came and went over the next few days, I kept thinking of that as, you know, it was put together by an event and I'm using it for magic. And nobody would necessarily know because you don't think of it that way. But
I love that.
It was so awesome with just the way this whole thing happened. So, but that's another part of what we do. If we go out like you did and you went out in the nature and there are different things that are like arbors or like archways that you walk through, it becomes your intent, even without, you know, making a big ritual out of it, of what you transition through when you're doing that. So, that was a sidebar magic.
I think that's awesome. And just, you know, out of that kind of natural little bit, big bit of a disaster, you know, that something, you know, just that symbol and seeing that as a portal, I think, is just, you know, looking at it through magical eyes and see that, you see those things then. I think magic, you know, during, as we're kind of journeying forward into the summer, is really focused on, you know, continued fertility, growth, and completion. And so, it's time to watch the seeds we planted earlier this year coming into fruition. I have a couple little quick spells I can spell for doing. One is a spell to boost our individual fertility. So it's very simple. You can plant some seeds that you have mixed with a couple drops of your menstrual blood or a bit of your saliva. And as you're doing that, fill them with your intention, you know, that you grow more fertile in whatever area that is that you're seeking, so more fertile in. And then set those seeds out. You can set them under the light of a full moon. If you have time, you know, time-wise, you can do that because the moon's associated with fertility. And then the next day, plant those seeds. And as the seeds grow, so will your fertility. So that's just a real simple one. Another one I like, and it kind of made me think of Memorial Day because I always burn some candles for, you know, my dad and other people on Memorial Day. And so this spell can be used as a fertility divination. Like if you're, you know, wondering if you should go in this direction or if you're going to become pregnant or if you have other questions, or you can use it as a spirit guidance spell. And so what you do is you go to the grave of an ancestor, you knew to be benevolent and wise and hopefully fertile. And take some flower seeds and, you know, place a coin on the, or a beverage or something that they would have liked on their gravestone. If you haven't worked with them before, you know, ask them if they're going to, if they would work with you. Then set your intention, asking for answers or guidance or assistance in respect to fertility. And then communicate that to your ancestor. Sit there in front of the grave and commune with them. Then kneel down in front of the gravestone and dig 9 holes. And then plant 9 seeds. And as you do this, while focusing and communicating with them, pray about your need or your intention. And this works really well when you're seeking answers fertility in regard to continuing your own bloodline. But it can also be used for, like, other matters where you're seeking fertility and you need assistance of a benevolent ancestor. And so when you are done, say thank you, you know, walk away, and don't look back. Although you might want to, you know, on the way in and on the way out, you might want to toss a couple of coins at the graveyard entrance and then return to the grave in about 10 to 14 days and check the number of plants that are growing from the seeds that you planted. And the number of sprouts will indicate a yes or no, and also will indicate how much the ancestor is able or willing to influence the matter that you asked for help with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an odd number, you know, so if you have like five or more, then you know that that's a great sign. So more than half is good, you know, that's a yes.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and saying that the ancestor is willing to help.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so that's it for that. So I know we're getting close to closing up. Do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share?
You know, it amazes me that as we do these shows, we keep finding how connected we are to the flow of energy and how it manifests in our own lives and, you know, the external world and things of that nature. And I think that's really the takeaway for me, is that we're in this process where things are together. And we're, you know, that's learning to be in the flow for manifestation. So that is my takeaway from everything here. And I'm really grateful that, you know, whatever we're able to do as a team here, we're seeming to put it together and bring it forth in multiple levels. So that's where I figure I want to end this whole process on my side.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great thought to end with. So I am going to do kind of our little maintenance at the end of the show here and let you know our contact info for readings or root work. Can find Elvira and I on Hoodoo Psychics and also on AIR, the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. And you can also find Elvira online at www.elvira.com and also at www.milk-and-honey.com. And you can find me at my website, which is www.bewitchingbee.com. At the end there, .com. And so I think that pretty much wraps up tonight's show. Next week, Thursday, we will start the month of June's theme, which is God's Angels and Other Inspirations, by talking about the primordial deity, Ether. So that should be a lot of fun. But for now, it's time for us to say goodbye.
Yeah.
So goodbye, Elvira. Goodbye, Nagashiva.
Goodbye.
To everybody else, which on, which well, and which wisely.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio broadcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Central, and is available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website at witchpriestessandcauldron.com. That's witchpriestessandcauldron.com. Until next time, merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. Blessed be.